Good morning. My name is Ira Gopal. I'm a student from Pune, Maharashtra, and I'm interning at Auroville Radio. I'm here today with Paul Vincent, one of the pioneers of Auroville as we know it today. Good morning, sir.
Good morning.
So, could you please tell us a little bit about your background?
I'm a countryside farmer family, and in school I learned basics. But then, in the early age, I had some experience, some inner experience, which showed that I had some call, sort of, some call to do something. I didn't know what it was then. Then, at one point, my family was separated into pieces because of a family problem. I end up into being taken care of by the government. Institution and put in a family. It's very strange because this family happened to be people who were totally the other side of the spectrum from what I came from. See, I'm countryside, as I say, and those families, they are like bourgeois type and well-to-do family, and they were having kinds of a spiritual call. So I had a few years, it's part of a program which was drawn for me without even my knowledge. It was from somewhere. Somebody have decided it should be like that. Then I started to work as a carpenter. I learned in school. I become a builder. Then when I was 21, at that time it was a majority age, I decided to come to India. Because India was a country which I had felt the call will bring me. Somehow I was interested in spiritual life more than in material life. As a carpenter, I was earning my life and I have no problem about my material need, but I felt material is not enough. You may say having money is, for me, it's not a aim. So I decided to come to India, but I wanted to visit first the ashram of Paramahansa Yogananda in Ranchi. But somehow, immediately I felt it was not my place. So I continued my trip. And mind you, at that time, it was in 72. It was just after the India-Pakistan war, where Bangladesh had been freed. And I arrive in Calcutta railway station, where there were thousands of refugees. You have to understand that how I came. I'm not in France as a carpenter. I had no knowledge of travel. I have no knowledge of English speaking. I just took my passport, bought one-way ticket to India, and came. And arriving in Delhi, I discovered that actually I had no visa.
Then again,
something is guiding me. I could negotiate with the authority transit visa of 21 days. So I decided not to go to Ranchi, and then I didn't stay. I go to Calcutta, and then I recall in primary school I have learned that there were French colony in India, like Pondicherry, Chandernagore, Karaikal, Mahé, and Yanam. So I say, somehow, some voice told me, go to Pondi. I have no knowledge where Pondi was. So I took a ticket from Calcutta to Pondi, to Madras actually, because this is the money I had. I have no more money from further. So I took this train. At that time, it was an incredible journey. Can you imagine those locomotives with vapor locomotives, so-called express train, which stop in every village all along. But you're sitting there in a compartment in second class with people, and I could enter into a kind of dialogue through dictionary and paper writing and asking questions. No, I didn't know English and nothing.
Oh.
Nothing. So it was the first encounter with people in India, and I found it extraordinary to be able to meet and dialogue with people who didn't even know any of the language. I had problem with food, because the food was, I started to taste the food and it was too much, too spicy.
Yeah.
So I had to leave, with biscuit and banana.
No way, for how long?
For 3 days. It was okay, I mean, I was in a kind of, on the cloud, if you want, sort of. And finally, I arrived in Chennai, and I didn't know how to go to Pondi. Then there was a Navy guy. He had a white uniform, so I figured out it's a Navy guy. And he told me, I'm going to Pondi. What's your problem? I told him, So he paid the ticket to Pondi. It was 9 rupees at that time. The full night in train from Madras to Pondi, changing in Viliporam and so on. It was quite a journey also those days. In those days, I mean, I told you. So when I arrived in Pondi, and a rickshaw took me to the ashram. I didn't know about an ashram in Pondi.
So
I have no idea.
He just automatically...
It's a guy brought me there because this is the way the rickshaw do. So I could not even pay the guy. So I opened my suitcase. I gave him a nylon T-shirt, and he was very happy with it. Then I waited there like somehow something. I felt like I don't know how to say it. I feel you're a puppet where the string has been cut and you are put in the roadside seating and fighting for something happen. I was totally off. I mean, I told you, imagine that you are coming from place where everything is planned there and everything, and then you arrive in a country when you don't even know the language, you have no visa to stay, you have no money.
I can't imagine.
So many thousand kilometers away, what the hell I'm doing there? And then in front there was a door with a symbol on top, the mother symbol that I came to know. And then somebody came, some French couple, passing by, and they told me, what's your problem? I was looking like I had a problem. So I told them, I don't know where I am, and I'm a bit lost. And say, okay, you enter in this building at 8 o'clock when it's open, and you ask for meeting Mr. André. So I did, and I managed to enter, and I met Mr. André, and Mr. André happened to be the mother's own son. Immediately, the guy started to say, well, what do you want? We are not a charitable institution. Well, I told him, wait a minute. I'm a carpenter. I know to work. I'm ready to work. Okay, then. He said, then, okay, you go to Orville. So I have no idea what was Orville. So he gave me a piece of paper, two pieces of paper, and you go to the office. And he showed me the office, which few, maybe half a kilometer away. You will find it. It's there. It's a Orville office. So I went there, and there they have arranged for me for a guest house to stay, the Orville guest house, because in those days there was almost no building in Orville, very few. So, and they told me that you come tomorrow morning to the same office, and you take the bus and go to visit Orville. Okay. So morning I went there and I climbed on the bus, and I arrived in a place where few had near a village, which was called Aspiration. And then I met some people there, and they told me what was going on. And they told me that, if you want to know what's going on, you go to Matrimandia. How do I go? You go by foot on the road. So I went from Aspiration to Matrimandia. On the road, which was completely mud. There was no tar road like you have today. There was no tree along. There was no building, no house, nothing. So when I arrive, I see this big open pits which was there with people working on a steel piece down on the foundation. So like that, I went back after. I took back the bus to Pondi. I had the rest in the night. And somehow I say, this is the place. this is a place where I want to live. So this is how my journey. I had arrived in a place where there was nothing, but everything was to be done. So I'd say, okay, let's start the journey. I will go on. So this is how I started. After I came to work, and I found a job as teacher in carpentry in a school, Aspiration School. Then whenever there was Matrimandir, concreting in Matrimandir, I participated. Even the first foundation, when they laid the floor on the foundation, I was there. Whenever I could, I came by bus. At that time, there was only transport. But somehow, after a while, I found that I haven't cut all the bridge yet, all the link with France. So it's something which is still missing for me. So I will have to go back in France and come back again. So that's what I did. And in 1974, I came back with a caravan bus we made organized with friends. We had a bus and three other vehicles, and we made the journey through land from France to...
Yeah,
it was an interesting journey.
How long did that take?
We started in the 10th of October from Paris, and we arrived here on 20th of December.
You were on the road for all that time?
Yeah. But sometimes we stopped, sometimes we had problems. But it was an interesting journey, and we were more than 30. It was interesting because this is this was an attempt of community life in a group. We knew that among those people, a lot of them will go back because they came as a tourist, sort of. But we also knew that some of us had come before and have been part of the Auroville experiment and wanted to stay in Auroville. This is how I started again, and I work in the carpentry, not in the school this time, but in Euromodel for the construction. Most of the old house of Euromodel, which were Roger's design, Roger and Andrea Babou design, were at that time were built, and I did the carpentry for them. Then after, they gave me a workshop, where is now Euromod. At that time, there was an empty workshop for carpentry, so I started to do the work from there. Same work. But then we enter into the trouble with the Srebrenica Society. Srebrenica Society is an organization in Pondy which were under the control of mother, but after she left, those people felt to claim ownership of the project. And they wanted us to become like ashramite in white cloth and everything. And like a kind of Rajnipuram, you know, like Rajni did in America for business purpose, for money. And somehow in Auroville we didn't feel that it was what mother wanted. So we enter into clash. I mean, we were victim of clash. They wanted to force us to be a manager of company, of business unit run by them, under trust run by them. And we said no. So then this fight, I mean, the whole fight, which lasted until the central government stepped in and took over the project from them, because they have misled the authority. They have claimed ownership, which was not the purpose for which Auroville was built. Then after, since 1982, because there were 2 years of court case and so on.
2 years?
2 years of court case, of course, because those people, they challenge the government of India in a court, claiming that the Srebrenica's teaching was a religion, therefore the government of India, according to constitution, have no right to interfere. So the government of India had to argue in the court, in constitutional court. And finally, the government of India won, and they appointed officer here. And this is where we are since 1982. We are in charge of the project. We means Auroville. And those people, they disappear from the horizon. So then we had a huge task to claim back the land, to protect the land. And one of the first task was to plant trees. It was a desert here before, completely desert. The only tree you could see from my workshop was a the banyan tree.
It seems so difficult to believe that this place was like desert
land. It was a desert. It was a real desert. So we had to control erosion, control wind, and plant trees. More than a million trees were planted in those days. So, and but still, there was a lot of problem with patch-up work. We didn't have all the land. From those days I started, when I was in the workshop, I had to close the workshop because of the fight, as I told you. So I had to close the workshop, and I changed my way of doing. So far I have been working with dead wood, so I decided to work with living wood. So I decided to plant trees. This is how I created the Revelation Forest, which is a park in the city. So it was a good experience for me, because this was an energy which was allow me to put what I felt into the ground. More than just protecting the land, it was even more than that. It was really a message put in the ground. And today, those trees are there. You can see them in Revelation. Then in 1989, I entered to the Auroville Futur, which was the architect office, and started to work on the larger scale land protection. But it was not until 1994 that we started to really understand that there was a need for legislation to protect what we call the master plan. So there was a long, I would not say fight, but a long struggle to gather energy, to put a team together, to find out a way to make a draft master plan. Finally, in 1998, I was nominated to the working committee, and I could push the approval of the master plan by the resident assembly, then present it to the governing board in December 1999 for approval, which I did. Then after, it went to all the way up to Delhi. I mean, for me, the train was launched. I mean, it was going on. Yet, somehow, it didn't bear fruit. There was no outcome of that, because we thought that the central government could protect Auroville. Whereas, in fact, for me, it has been always like that. We are in Tamil Nadu. India is a federal state, and the land is a state subject. So for me, it was very clear that the only way to achieve protection would be to work for the recognition of the master plan by the state government. This is what I'm working on from 1913, when there was a call by the working committee to move further. So I joined a team, and we started to work, and we came to the conclusion after 4 years that the only way to do it is to have what is called NTDA, which is New Town Development Authority. The Tamil Nadu government initiated a plan all over the coast of from Chennai up to Karaikal to develop the belt of the 20-30 kilometer wide to develop into a master plan. So Auroville is in that area. So either we let the government do it for us, and what will come out we don't know, or we participate into it and we put our input into it. We, that means a vision of what Auroville is to be according to Mother. So it's a question of either being subjected to government machinery or to have the freedom to participate and make it the best way for us. So this is where we are at now. We are at trying to get recognition of the master plan of Auroville by the state government. The thing is that the master plan will be ours. This is what we are working on, so it will be our master plan. So everybody will have to abide to this plan, which we have divided. Okay, it's not a master plan which is made somewhere in Madras or Anyway, it's a master plan. We make ourselves. The problem is to move Rovilly and to do this master plan is like, it's almost impossible for many reasons. The problem is that many people have a different vision of Rovilly. Many people believe that Rovilly is to be that or is to be that. If you take 2,000 Rovilliens, you have 2,000 visions of Rovilly. Very few people are ready to say, we don't want to have our vision, we want to apply what Mother wanted. What Mother wanted here is a city which is guided by socio-economic principle. This is very, very little understood by many Rovilliens. Today, Rovilly is guided by economic, by fun, by money. Money power is guiding Rovilly today. Mother didn't want that. Mother said, no, Rovilly should be a place which is free from money. And this is what is called the socio-economic principle, where there is no private property, there is no private business, no private guest house, no private house. So to achieve that, you have to have an understanding from all the people that it is that where we want to go. But the difficulty is that today there are many people say, no, we don't agree with that. Mother see that 50 years ago, now it's the reality is different. They forget that the reality is the one we have created. They are not a real reality. Is not what Mother wanted. Now, to go back to what Mother wanted is going to be a difficult task. It will call for people who are ready to dream, to call for Mother to help us to do what she wanted, not what we want. In my life as a carpenter, nearly, I learned to do one thing. I learned to follow a plan. I didn't make the plan. I was given a plan and you say, you do that like that. So this is something I learned, to follow a plan which is made by somebody else. The difficulties of Rovilliens, many are not ready to follow a plan made by somebody else. See, even though we had the chief architect with us up to 2008, there are people who say, no, we don't agree with him, no, we don't. And this is where we are today. And this is where we are, where we have encroachment all over. We have more than 100 people who have encroached in the master plan area. You have private guest houses which are being developed. You have land which are being developed as a layout for real estate. Illegal and challenged. I work in a team which... My team, I'm not the leader of the team, but I work with them and we challenge that. But we are not, we are not very much supported by many people in this community. See, this is the problem. The real estate manager, the real estate people who spend crores of rupees in black money, they don't care because for them it's easy. There is no one view in Rovilly. There is no one land policy. And we made a mistake. We means the Rovilly community. Since 1982, as I said, when we become in charge of Rovilly, the priority should have been to buy the land for Rovilly first. Only that, to buy the land we need. And we knew what was the land needed. We know, we have the map, we have everything. The problem is that, as I said, there are other visions. And the people who say, no, I don't want to live in a small hut, kit house. I want a nice house. I want a swimming pool. I want... And we also make a mistake with entry. We have accepted people who have come here for retirement, not for working. They had money, so they could buy the house. We are selling house now. Whatever the name people will put, we are selling house to people who have the money. For the people who have no money, it's almost impossible. I came here as a young man, carpenter, at the age of 21. In those days, Mother was in charge. It was possible for people like me to enter without money. But now, young carpenter, 21, you have no place, guy, you go. We cannot take you, we have no place. We are employing people in buildings. 4,000 people are working in Fauville. We are 2,500 and we have 4,000 or more employees, paid workers. So we have become, I know that people don't like it, but we have become a sort of neo-colonialism society, which paid employees doing the work for us. You look all around, people washing the floor, cleaning the floor, people washing the cloth. It's all paid employees. And we have become a bureaucrat. You have in this building, you have a lot of people sitting, deciding, taking decisions, and so on and so forth. They are bureaucrats. They don't work in the field. They don't want to do it. They have paid workers for that. And they manage in an economic system so that the paid workers are paid. They don't understand that the economic principle of a drain. Like if you put money in a basket which is leaking, or without bottom, it will disappear. It goes. Instead of encouraging our society to grow for ourselves, without difference of culture, nation, or whatever. I'm for having a maximum number of culture here. It's a mix of culture is good. But if we don't accept people who are ready to work and we don't encourage them, we are going to develop a society of a few thousand people who would employ an army of paid workers or build a house for them. Is that Oroville? I don't think so.
So would you say that it's kind of in a way deviated from what the mother's vision was?
Definitely. It has definitely deviated, and the problem is there are too few people like me who open their mouth and say we have deviated. People are there are very little whistleblower here. People are not encouraged to say what they think. They are not.
Maybe they wouldn't. Is it possible that they are more comfortable with this idea of
automation? Maybe, but some of them are discouraged to say anything. And why? What the hell? I mean, I live my comfortable life. I have my house, I have my private car, I have my swimming pool. What the hell should I be pointed by the finger as a bad guy? You know, this is what's happened.
So do you think there's any coming back to what Oroville was supposed to be?
It's going to be a hell of a problem. Very difficult.
Yeah. Is there any measures that you can think of that will probably help us get there?
There are many. One of them is first, for me, the first measure is to say that the people who have flouted the system, the people who have misused the system in Oroville, who have misused the ethics of Oroville, should not be appointed in any executive body of Oroville. In other words, it's name and shame. If you don't say anything about people who mismanage, take money, or buy private property, it will go on. It's like a cancer. If you don't cure the cancer, you have the cancer, took the body. That's all. So somehow you have to stop. I'm not talking about asking people to leave. I'm not like that. 35 years ago, I would have been like that, but not today. Today I'm saying, okay, but prevent those people to enter into continuing the system. And don't ask the people who have corrupted the system to correct the system. Those people who have corrupted the system to correct it, because this will never work. They are the ones who are responsible for the corruption of the system. So this should leave room for other people. Other way, it will never work. You can try a thousand ways. The same people who corrupted things, you don't ask criminals to do justice. It will not happen. See, we have 3,500 acres or more land. Most of it is under the control of some kinds of lordship, sort of. Some people have a very few acres, some other people have a larger area. When I look at what we eat in our food, what we buy in our system of distribution, of food distribution, what we eat in the restaurant, what we eat in the solar kitchen, and so on, you discover that actually, in counting all the individuals who don't use that system, individual or Avilian families and so on, you find out that we are hardly eating 10% of what we need. We are hardly producing 10% of what we need.
Okay.
Most of the food we eat is coming either from Bangalore or from other places. It's not grown in Auroville. We don't have a proper land use policy. They are basically good farms who produce good. It's basically two. One is Oro Orchard and the other one is Annapurna. They are the one who produce more food. The other are patch up, small work, small thing. Even some do their own restaurant to sell their own food to their customer. Yeah. But there is no mass production of food according to the need, what we need. We have land, but most of the land is misused. And some of the good land we could have used for that were used for other purposes. Okay? They were given for people to build a house, to run some business or whatever, but they were not used to grow food. See? If you go around and see all the farms, you see that some of the farms, what they do, they run a small farm product which under the names of biological production, bio farming. Very good. But this is forgetting that 80-90% of the food we eat, other people eat in Auroville, it's not bio-produced. It's a normal food produced by people who use pesticide and chemical. Okay? So they will tell you, but yes, but you know to produce food like bio-food is very difficult. Of course, it needs farmer. Are we encouraging farmer? Here, it's like I'm encouraging carpenter or plumber to work in the construction. They say, we are not. We are not. We tell, okay, do that. Budget? No, we don't have budget. You manage yourself. We don't have a budget. We don't have a farming policy. Look at the, for instance, people here say, oh, look at the ashram. But the ashram, they are producing a lot of their food. They are farmed with equipped materials, farmland, which they are cultivating, they are producing their food. Why don't we do the same? We can do, but we don't have a policy. That's a problem. We don't have a building permission, building policy, proper building policy. We don't have construction policy. We don't have a proper security policy. We don't have a proper education policy. And we don't have a proper farming policy. What do we produce in the school? In our school, we produce students which goes to study university and become, some of them come back after 10, 15 years, sit in them behind a computer. This is what we produce. Only few of those who could not study or who had not the mental capacity or the financial capacity, very few are staying here. Very few compared to the number of students. We don't encourage work. The working spirit in our school. We encourage people to study. Mother didn't want more school. Mother said, no school. Life is school. Yeah. Students should be working with the people in life, not in the building. Learning English or learning German or learning Latin or whatnot, or learning computer. They should work with the people.
She wanted that to be the education, yeah. Like working. Right?
Life.
Oh, right.
You work in life with the people. And this is where you learn with the people. See, this is another way of looking at things, which somehow it's not encouraged in Auroville. So that's why it ended up into producing. We are producing white-collar people. You know? This is what we are. All the left out. Some of them stay here, do some work. They do. Some of them, they are working good. Very good people who work with their hand, but they are very few compared to the number of students which are coming out of school. And this is what, for me, I found that a pity. Coming from a worker's family, I learned my job in college, but I learned a job. I didn't learn mathematics. I learned how to make windows, door, and so on. Where is it here? That's a problem. Where is the Mason school? Where is the plumber school? Where is the technical college where we learn job to build our city? This is what is lacking. This is a kind of, it's another way of looking at Orville, which is totally different of what it is now. It's thousands of kilometers away. In fact, to go back to what Mother wanted, we have to make a U-turn, completely U-turn. And that will need a revolution, and having an aging population, people who are becoming older, like me, getting old after 45 years here, getting tired. Some of them will resist. I will not resist. I will encourage. But there are other people who will resist. What the hell for? What's the problem? I have my life. I don't want to be disturbed by all those bullshit. See? So to turn back, I don't want to discourage you, but I want you to know the reality. The reality is not what we publish in newspaper or in a film. The ground reality is different. That's all.
So is this the hope you have from the youth of Orwell, to wake up and realize that...
Yeah, I still have some of those hope.
Yeah?
I still have it. I have doubt, but I still have it.
Right. So for you, it means like to be a true Orwellian. It means to go back to what the mother actually wanted.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, and do karma yoga. This is what mother wanted, karma yoga. Yoga with the material, not with the mind. We don't need computer to make a karma yoga. You take computer after, like me, 45 years of work, you take a computer, it's okay. You have done it. You have done your job. You have done your share. But young people should go out in the field. And if they don't have the means to go out in the field, they should ask for it. They should ask for it and claim it as a right. It is their right to have the instrument they need to work. I don't say that people should work with a crowbar and mumpty in the field under the sun. No way. We did it. We don't want you to do it again. But if you need material to do the same work, like a tractor, like whatever, ask for it. But don't say that as an excuse that you cannot do the work because you don't have the instrument. Ask for it. And if there is no money, you ask those people who make the policy or the people who manage the finance. They should manage to get the money for that. If we go with a proper request to... there are many organizations which are ready to help Orville. But we have to come up with something which stand. You know? Something which people will say, yeah, this is something which need to be supported. We claim to be a model city. A city which the earth need. This is the claim, empty claim. Because as of today, we are nowhere to that. Nowhere close to that.
Thank you so much for sharing your views with us. And
okay,
it was really very enlightening. And I'm so glad that I talked with you and I came to know all of this. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Have a nice day.